You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Well, at least Mike Brennan. Matt is AWOL. I'm sure he'll be showing up shortly. You never know about Detroit traffic. So we have in the show today, we have Dr. Tanya Matthews, the CEO of the Michigan Science Center, who we have also drafted as our mistress of ceremonies for the IoT Tech Connect conference on April 4th.
Yes, it's more like hold me back, though, as opposed to drafting.
Oh,
so,
good.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, this all began. It was actually her idea, surprisingly. Normally, I talk people into everything. But I was in her office in January with Rich Homburg from DPTV, and we were discussing strategy. And I said, well, why don't you be the mistress of ceremonies? Checked your calendar and voila, you're in.
Well, I am delighted. It's a really fascinating topic for me. I mean, I'm technically in this space because I'm training the next generation to take over the space. But right now I am an avid consumer and I'm sort of watching all of this come together. And so this concept of explaining, and you know, we engineers and tech folks, we name things in ways that make it really easy for anyone other than ourselves to understand what we're talking about. But I'm really working on the translation. So this Internet of Things, it's closer to, so what will your thing do for you? We're moving from a space where a tool is becoming a whole new level of active. So right now we are in the virtual space. And so we've begun to value, you know, objects again, like those will be your special things. It's going to come to a point where we value, say, a thing that only does one thing, right? Uh-huh. Because we're moving to a space where our things do many things. This weekend, my youngest niece, you know, she's at that stage now. She's about 3 years old. So she walks up to my grandmother's TV and says, play Paw Patrol. And the TV doesn't do it. Hmm. And she's trying to figure out what's wrong with grandma's TV. Grandma's TV is broken. So we have to go through this thing of saying, no, grandma doesn't have a talking TV. But this is all sort of part of what is happening. And so I'm looking forward in some ways to that environment. But I'm really looking forward to, you know, creating folks who are interested in getting their fingers and minds, you know, all engaged in that. But also I'm interested in people being wise and avid users of this technology, like really figuring out what it can do for us and also what to ask for. You may not necessarily be the tech creator, but you can be the impetus for why something new does something new.
Well, that's kind of what this show on April 4th is about, is up until a year ago, I really wasn't sure what the Internet of Things was, right? Then I went to a conference in Chicago, and I never should have said this, as we were driving back with my business partner, Rick Beckers, I said, we could do a better job than that, and that's how this was born. Famous last words. I'm going to learn to just keep my mouth shut. But no, it's going to be a great show. It's just been... I've had two jobs now for 3 months, so I'm taking a little breaky-poo after the show is over because I am worn out. But it's going to be a great show. Now, one of the things you're going to have talking about the next generation of IoTers is your STEMistas, and then Monica Wietz, also involved with Digerati Girls.
Absolutely.
We're having a workshop in the afternoon. I know Charles has been organizing that for you, but I'm sure you're up to speed on everything. It's going to be good. We're going to have a panel. Why don't you talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, so we're talking about Charles Gibson, who is our Director of Education Innovation and the STEMinista Project and one of our most powerful partners, Digirati Girls. And so we are having a workshop for high school young ladies, as well as ambitious eighth graders. You know, we don't turn anyone away. And they're going to do some coding. They're going to set up some apps, some games. They're going to have some challenges around there, because underneath all of this is, of course, programming your thing.
Right.
Or somebody's programming the thing. And then we're also going to have a nice, approachable panel of women who are already in this space.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we like to be sure that our young ladies and parents and guardians of our young ladies see is that a lot of this is groundbreaking.
Right.
However, we are also already there.
Mm-hmm.
And that little bit of encouragement, no such thing as a girl job, no such thing as a boy job, just simply a necessary job that you may be the next genius we need. And so that's going to be that panel and that session. So we're excited about that.
And we also have in studio, Tembor
mm-hmm.
Shea.
Turn on her mic, please.
Proof of concept.
Tembor, yes, Tembor fits the bill on so mm-hmm. many levels. And she, and later in the show, she's going to be talking about her event that she's going to be organizing. Give her a brief, you know, kind of tying in with what Tanya had to say.
Yeah, absolutely. So the young women then become grown women who found their own companies and become entrepreneurs and set great examples for other young women to get into the tech field and start some amazing companies that you never would have thought of.
And she's going to be talking about that later in the show. She's got mm-hmm. the morning program on the big ballroom stage.
Woo-hoo.
And then I'm running the afternoon program. But we'll get through it.
It's going to be a great conference.
Yes. So also,
yes.
Karen Cox sent me some information saying you wanted to talk about some things going on, too.
So the month of April. So today the sun is out and it is shining. So I've got something for the young, the grown, and the curiously creative.
Mm-hmm.
So for the young, we are coming up on all of the anniversaries of sort of this post-greatest generation. We've save the planet. Now let's go to the moon. So a lot of those anniversaries are coming around now. So on April the 12th, we are celebrating Yuri's Day. So that's where we're going to have lots of different hands-on activities, bottle rockets, teaching folks how to do water rockets and sort of those kinds of things. And around that is also going to be surrounding Astronomy Day, which comes in later in the month. So that's for our family audiences. We've got a lot of take-home activities and challenges that will happen all during the day. Then on April 19th, you can leave the kiddies at home and come to the World Space Party. Mm. So we talk about our After Dark, which is every third Thursday. The Michigan Science Center goes 21 and up. And the one in April is the one we dedicate to the World Space Party. So that is Yuri's Night. So Yuri Gagarin was the first man in space. And so it's a good excuse to celebrate and do some cool things. So we're basically going to treat all of the grown folks like fifth graders. And it is quite a time once you add the bar and the DJ. So that is actually really cool. And then certainly last but not least, so April is Earth and Space Month. So April 22nd is Earth Day, my favorite day for many, many reasons. It's Earth Day. It also happens to be my birthday.
Ah.
Gift cards gladly accepted. But of course, please make a donation to the Michigan Science Center, as we are a 501c3. You can call that my birthday present. But April 22nd, we are partnering with the Metro Museum of Design Detroit.
Hmm.
And so we are going to have this one-of-a-kind, one-day-only exhibition on biomimicry, right? So this is when, so we usually think about it when animals imitate other animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say you are a poisonous butterfly, and then you've got a cousin who's a non-poisonous butterfly. You want to look like your poisonous cousin so that the birds don't think they can eat you.
Hmm.
But now where we are with technology is we are learning from birds, animals, how to make some of our technology. So now humans are imitating animals in terms of learning different things about how we improve our constructions around aerodynamics, or how mm-hmm. we even do camouflage, or whatever.
I was hoping it wasn't
is.
The poison thing, you know? So.
Well, you never know. You never know. But so that whole day is going to be dedicated to those conversations. We got a great and fantastic exhibit working with MMOD is always so much fun. And we are free and open to the public that day.
Wow.
So everybody wants to come on through and check us out for that day. And
what's the date on that again?
That is April 22nd. It is a Sunday. Mm. So you can check our website because those days do fill up now for us. So you'll have to pre-register.
Wow. And you guys are closed on Mondays, right?
Yes. So the museum district is closed on Mondays, mm-hmm. unless something super special is going on. So mm-hmm. we're open for holidays and for folks that can rent us out and do different things like that.
Yeah. Okay. You know, that might be another thing to look at is we want to do the show again next year, but the hotels, as you know, are pretty expensive and they charge you for everything under the sun. So we're looking at another venue opportunity.
Yep.
I know Rich offered DPTV, but it's too small. You couldn't accommodate.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. But if you had 400 or 500 people, could you do 400 or 500 people in there, do you think?
We could easily do 400 or 500 people. Our fourth floor is still a nice black box space. Mm-hmm. Plus, for you, Mike, I'd shut it down.
Oh.
It'd just be IoT, so
Whoa.
We could really do
well,
that.
Well, take a serious look at that, because we were talking about coming into downtown Detroit for the next one. So
everything should be in downtown Detroit.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you the backstory some other time on why we were in Oakland County, but... A lot of promises were made by lots of folks. But anyway, moving right along. So Michigan Science Center, it's a nominal charge to get in. I can't, $15 or
mm-hmm.
something?
Yep. So we have different ticket prices and packages depending on how much you want to see. So from $12 to $15. And then we also have reasonable memberships, everything from full-fledged family to grandparents memberships and student memberships. And something that our guests may be particularly interested in is our annual gala is coming up.
Huh?
So the Michigan Science Center, we're celebrating our 5th birthday all year long. So that makes things very, very cool. And so our gala is coming up. And this year, we have Nobel Prize winning astrophysicist, cosmologist, Dr. John Mather, who is in charge of the James Webb Telescope for NASA.
Ooh, yeah.
So we always have a super geeky speaker that comes to the gala. And our only rule is we actually don't do auto because this community gets so much of that. We try to bring in someone from the outside.
Sure.
So if the next time you get in your Corvette or your Mustang and it flies a little like a spaceship, you can credit the Science Center for bringing in the Webb Telescope guy. So you can give us a call to find out more information about the gala.
Good to know. What's the date on that?
That is, okay, so everyone just hold your seats for a second. It is May the 4th.
May 4th.
As in, come on, Mike, you got this.
Kentucky Derby
May
Day.
May the 4th be with you, my friend.
Oh, that. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm a Derby guy. So
May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, all right.
Yes,
got it,
so
yeah.
That is how everyone can
remember. A little
slow,
you know. Brain is tired. So.
Yes. You can give us a call at the Science Center if you want to grab a table or some individual tickets or even just come to the Afterglow this year. So it'd be very cool.
Ah, okie dokie. All right, so anything, summer, we got a couple of minutes left. Why don't we talk a little bit about, you got some summer camps coming up or anything cool?
Yes, so as always, if you're a parent out there and you know, summer camp season is upon us. So, of course, the Michigan Science Center does have summer camps. So you can check us out. And also, we are busy with school groups through the months of May and June as folks come in. And get themselves excited and active. And I want to tell our current members and perhaps future members, remember that the Michigan Science Center membership is valid nationally because we are a member of the Association of Science and Technology Centers, and we all do reciprocal admission. So once you have your Michigan Science Center membership, be sure to take that with you as you travel for the summer. And you can go to science centers and science museums all over the country because you are a supporter of your own science center right in your own backyard.
What does a membership cost? You can do a shameless plug. Where's that bell? Okay.
See, exactly. So there's the...
Well, hey, there we go. Shameless
plug.
All right,
so we got the bell.
So
the memberships range from $49 all the way up to about $200 from individuals to family premium. And that, of course, gives you access to the Science Center all year, plus early ticket buying and discounts and sort of all those different kinds of things.
All right. I like it. And so now we got them all lathered up. So they need to have a website address here. How do they respond?
Yeah. So check out www.mi-sci.org. So you can check out our event, Yuri's Day on April 12th, Yuri's Night on April 19th, and of course, Earth Day on April 22nd, which is our free access day. And then you can give us a call about the gala in May.
And that's also Tanya's birthday. She expects presents. So I'm just saying.
There you go. Yes.
Okay. That's Dr. Tanya Matthews, the CEO of the Michigan Science Center, who's also our mistress of ceremonies at IoT Tech Connect on April 4th at Detroit Marriott. That's my own shameless plug.
There you go.
All right. Bing. There we go. All right. We'll be right back with Tim Boucher, the Wonder Woman from Inforum, you know?
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
It's Mike Brennan. We're back. Matt is not with us today. I'm not sure why. Probably good reason. But we have with us instead a great reason, Engage manager Tim Boucher, who doing
director.
Director. I always get that wrong. I keep trying to promote you or maybe demote you. I'm not sure what that is.
Today.
Is that what it is? Okay. So you're interviewing Lori McCall?
Mm-hmm. McCall.
McCall. Mm-hmm. I'm notorious for mispronouncing names. So. And you're the founder of WIM Detroit, mm-hmm. a technology consultant and app developer.
Mm-hmm.
Do tell. Yes.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So, Lori, welcome. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
We just actually had masterclass on Saturday, our second mm-hmm. session of this cohort. So, and Lori is also, speaking of Internet of Things Tech Conference, is sitting on the entrepreneur panel on
Whoa.
Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in forum week for Lori.
Yeah. Well, and then if you notice, there's a thread in this program today. All the segments are talking about the contest. There are the contest. The conference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can do it.
We have a full day on Wednesday, don't we?
Yes.
So, Lori is in this cohort of Masterclass, and as you know, it is Inforum's program, Masterclass, to work with emerging second-stage women entrepreneurs right. to help them get to the next level.
After Tanya gets these girls into STEM professions, then they come to you when they want to start businesses.
Well, we also work with Tanya and the Michigan Science Center on the STEM and ESTA program. Mm-hmm. We provide some of our role models and mentors to them to work with that program.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't know
it is,
that. Well,
natural.
Not aware of that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Okay.
We do a lot of stuff together. It just is natural and is a really good collaboration.
Sure.
The masterclass, as you all know, we've had 100 women go through the program up to this point, and mm-hmm. they've created 41 brand new companies.
Wow.
They've created 384 jobs, been granted 35 patents, and have gone on to raise almost $42 million in follow-on funding and over $9 million in government contracts.
Wow.
So they're doing some really great stuff. Lori is founder of WIM Detroit. It's a technology company that designs and implements leading digital edge platforms and operating models, mobile apps. Before she launched WIM, she was a director with one of the largest global professional service firms, responsible for implementing enterprise and cloud-based solutions for Fortune 500 companies in auto, tech, consumer products, and industrial products.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome, Lori.
Thank you.
We're so glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
That's my version of what WIM does. So why don't you tell us what you're doing with WIM.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we are all tech. Predominantly what we focus on is digital transformation. And so digital is a word that's used by a lot of people, but it really means the future of how we will communicate with each other. And so there's a number of ways that transformation happens for a lot of companies. So whether it's implementing new platforms, infrastructure as a service, software as a service. Now I saw a new term, X as a service, everything as a service.
Oh,
so there you go. I know. That's mm-hmm. what you were saying, Dr. Tanya.
Everything
as a service. And what we predominantly focus on are really the things that I am the companies and brands and industries that I really love the most. So predominantly fashion and sports. So yeah, it's everything from implementing new revenue channels to mobile apps to new platforms, all within the brands and things that we love.
So you're doing something kind of interesting right now. We'll talk more about your company in a minute, but I want to plug what you're doing. You've hackathon coming up.
We do. We have a first for Detroit. We are hosting the first fashion and technology hackathon. So we're doing it at the Detroit Center for Design and Tech in partnership with the MEDC. So our goal is to bring a different type of tech here. We were talking about earlier, you know, it's pretty heavy in mobility and in fintech now. And when you think about the fashion and retail space, there's a tremendous amount of disruption happening there. And my dream would be to see Detroit on the map for a new space of tech. So we are going to be hacking future commerce, future retail, and sustainability.
Excellent. So when is this happening? How would I get involved if I wanted to come participate?
You can go to our website, www.detroitfashionhackathon.com. It is April 20th through the 22nd. And we are super excited. We have exceeded our diversity goals for our participants. And we have some great sponsors that have come on board. So it's pretty exciting.
So do I have to be a tech person to come participate in the hackathon?
No, all passions are welcome. Creators, designers, stylists, makers, developers, data enthusiasts, anything. We have, from the participants that we've got signed up, a wide range of skill sets, and it's fantastic.
That's great. That's great. So even if I'm a fashion designer, I can come and maybe you'll partner me with someone in
absolutely
tech who can make what I'm thinking a reality?
Yep, absolutely. The goals at all of our teams are cross-functional. So we've got everything from makers to developers so that, you know, in essence, this is how the future will be working. Like, these future designers and makers will be working. And so I always think the best tech is tech that's really done thoughtfully and mindfully. And so that gives a chance for some of the tech-focused kind of resources and skill sets to learn more about the maker process and vice versa. So, yeah.
That's terrific. So you talk about agile talent.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. I've heard this. So can you define that for me and tell me why this target is important for your business?
Yeah. So the way that I think about it, Timber, when I was a kid, I played softball a lot and I was a shortstop. And so to be a shortstop, you have to be able to cover third base, second base. You have to be able to run in to take the bunt and go all the way out to the outfield. So in essence, you have to be able to play many positions, wear many hats. And then you also have to keep an eye on where the runners are, you know, based on kind of how the game's going. So when I think about what's needed nowadays for the future talent, so we were talking about, you know, STEM and the different things that are the different industries that are moving so quickly. You really have to be able to know tech. You have to be able to know data. You have to know interaction design. You have to know experience, and you have to know your customers inside and out. And so we focus on agile because that's in essence what you have to, you know, those are a combination of the skill sets that you have to be to really survive, whether you're a brand, a company, or whether you're creating a tech startup. So
that's the life of the entrepreneur, is pivoting constantly.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Exactly. I mean, as an entrepreneur, you're wearing all those hats. You're playing first, second, third, pitching, catching, in the outfield some days.
It's so much fun, too.
No, and then I'm in the stands yelling at the ref, you know, the next day. You know.
Yes.
So what stage is your company in today? What type of clients are you working with? And what are you doing for them right now?
So we are 1 year in. I launched WIM January 1st, 2017. And so, you know, early stage is where we are right now. But we have a number of really great clients. So, you know, part of the strategy for when you move, especially with my background coming from corporate America being second stage or a corporate dropout or a recovering consultant. That's some of the, I guess,
all
names
those
I've
days,
been called.
Yes. The gig economy. Welcome to
the gig economy. I know we're all recovering from something. What we've been really doing, I mean, we have a couple great projects. And projects look very different, I think, once you're an entrepreneur as well. You know, there's some great transition projects we're working on in the city with some iconic brands, and that's been a lot of fun. We've also been doing a lot of collaborations. So we have a pre-MVP or an early stage tech solution that we're working on with our local designers that in essence would create a future marketplace that focuses on a more direct channel to consumers, as well as kind of highlighting the transparency of some of our local makers with their supply chain. So we've got early tech product in position, and then we're working on kind of building the social mission, which is why we're doing something like a fashion and technology hackathon and really trying to connect with kind of those various pockets and channels that we have, where we have, you know, either it's women or diverse groups of kind of people coming up through the technology channel. So we're building out that as well. So there's a lot of things going on, but it's been a really great experience.
Yeah, that's a lot of really great stuff. So I love your company name, WIM. How did that come about?
Well, as I always explain to people, I'm like, you know, I've never heard somebody say the term on a whim and it was a bad experience. And so usually when people say on a whim, my friend and I, we got in a van and we drove cross country, and it was one of the best experiences of my life. Yeah.
Or did lemon drops during the big semifinal game. You know, it seemed like a great idea at the time.
Exactly. I know. But no, where it really came from, it was kind of interesting because it was 3 years ago. I was home for the holidays, and my mom and I were sitting and talking, as family does during that time. And I was thinking about what my next steps were going to be, what the next couple years look like. And we were talking, and kind of on a whim, I said, you know, I think I'm just going to sell everything I own and move downtown Detroit. I was living up in the suburbs at that time, Oakland County. Mm-hmm. And it felt like I wasn't, there was something more I was supposed to do, but I didn't really, bigger I was supposed to do, but I didn't really know what to do. So I thought, well, let's get a little bit lean and kind of stuff and where I was. And at the time, you know, the revitalization was just gaining momentum. There was a lot of exciting things happening. And so I kind of on a whim did all of that. So, and it's kind of coupled, our name is WIM Dash Detroit. At that time I was also, the dash does have meaning too. It's a really great poem written by Linda Ellis in 1996, and it has to do with, you know, in essence, from the year you're born to the year you die, there's that dash when you are going through and looking, is a little bit morbid, on the cemetery. And the question was, her poem's about, what have you done with your dash? And so it's all about thinking, you know, am I doing all the things that I can possibly do? Am I giving back? Am I feel like I'm in the right space?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. What a whim.
Yeah, I know, awesome. On a whim, right? Nobody's ever had a bad whim.
Nobody's ever had a bad whim. So speaking as a woman in tech, because we know we know technology can be a little challenging for women because, you know, we're really working on getting more women into tech and seeing all of the options and possibilities for them there. So what have your challenges been being a woman in tech and starting your own business?
Oh, well, you know, I've been a woman in tech for probably about 14, 15 years now. And I think you guys have done a great job, Timber, sharing the statistics, right? 25% of women are actually in tech, 4% drop, or 40% usually leave tech. And there's a lot of, you guys know that. And there's a whole number of, I'd say, boilerplate excuses that are really given. But the real reason that I think a lot of people are leaving tech are for the reasons that you read in the newspapers nowadays that make national headlines. It's these cultures that are not necessarily as conducive to diversity in thought, diversity in leadership, and diversity in approach.
Yeah, but I think that's changing slowly, but changing.
Slowly. I still, you know, I think there's still challenges out there. Still, I mean, there's this
unconscious bias.
Thank you. Yeah, unconscious bias where people will walk in a room and just assume I don't know tech. You know, that they'll try to make me kind of the project manager.
I think that's
the
more
person.
A function of the baby boomers. I mean, I think when you get down to the millennials and stuff, that's an issue, right?
So. No.
We have a party that wants to weigh in here, Tanya.
Well, I mean, I would say yes. I would say it's more prevalent, definitely, in the boomers generation, mm-hmm. but they had kids, and those kids had kids, you know. And so I think we still have it. There's some prevalence, mm-hmm. some conscious, some unconscious. When mm-hmm. I'm in a good mood, it's unconscious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Apparently you're in a good mood today, yes. right? So, okay.
Yeah, I mean, but I think with everything, what's been fantastic is the tech community here within Detroit, because it is in the early stages, it has been fantastic. So there's a ton of other tech co-founders that I collaborate with and work with. So, you know, where you may have that at a larger corporate level, at least within our ecosystem here, it's been quite embracing. So it's just getting over those hurdles. The next step is, you know, if you've got a tech solution, trying to obtain funding. That's another place where we have a diversity issue. So this is why I think programs like Inform really are fantastic for the community.
All right. Shameless plug there. That's for sure.
Ding,
right?
Ding, ding.
Okay. We're ending this segment. Tanya, excuse me, Timber. I'm looking at Tanya and say Timber. Take us out.
So wrapping up, Lori, check out WIM Detroit if you're interested in attending the hackathon. We would love to see a lot of great women in tech there.
Mm-hmm.
And join to hear more from Lori and speak to her afterwards, the Internet of Things Tech Connect Entrepreneurial Panel on Wednesday morning.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right, we'll talk about that in the next segment.
Sounds great.
This is Mike Brennan. You've been listening to M Squared TechCast on the Podcast Detroit Network. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
We're back. I just found out. I got a text from Matt. He's in Niagara Falls visiting his son. Forgot to mention he's going to be out of town. So I was like, oh, my God, he's been in an accident or something. He's always so prompt.
But he's clearly listening to the podcast.
I'm sure
so
he
there
is.
You
yes,
go.
Yes. Oh, there you go, Matt. So we're back. And so Timber Shea, who has been a very good friend and help me out with this darn show coming up on April 4th, IoT Tech Connect. She has a really great segment that we kind of been brainstorming. I can talk here. You know,
I know.
Please. For about 3 months now, and it's all come together about accelerators, incubators, co-working spaces. So you got all these IoT folks and the ones like Tanya's training, the young ones yet to be. But there's a whole lot they got to find. I mean, this whole entrepreneur thing is a whole lot different than you think.
There's so much. You don't know what you don't know.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really important to reach out to others. But what I've realized, Mike, is the great thing about Southeast Michigan is we all went through the recession together in 2008, 2009.
God, it was bad.
And so we have a unique ecosystem here that actually collaborates and works together because we know we're only coming back the way we are because we work together to do it. And this is not the same way in other ecosystems throughout the country. People are amazed when they come here and see it.
Well, I worked in Silicon Valley. It's very much a don't turn your back on anybody there because you get a knife in it, you know?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
And so, I've worked in other big cities. Same thing, you know, New York. I worked in New York and different places like that. Same kind of environment. So, but yeah, it's friendly here.
Yeah, very friendly. And the incubators and accelerators and, you know, this panel is going to go through that. So it's going to be incubators, accelerators, co-working spaces.
And in training, too.
And some community. I mean, there are going to be three different panels. So there's just this first one dealing with accelerators, incubators, community. Kind of what is the difference between an accelerator and an incubator? You know, there are differences.
Right.
Who's in my part of town who can help me here, who maybe is specialized in tech. There are some organizations that really specialize in that tech and that high growth. High-tech space, which is different for some people. Some people, that's really where they are, and some people, it's maybe a little more, and I hate to say lifestyle because that's not even it anymore. There are a lot of high-growth industries now that aren't necessarily high-tech, but they use tech. So there's that element within that we have to consider.
And it's about also, as you're a business owner, entrepreneur, self-awareness about yourself and your business. You may need different kinds of things at different times. You may be a tech wizard, but you know, you need some shoring up on the business side of things. Know your ideas are not for free. Like I know you have to eat on Tuesday, but you will never eat on Wednesday if you keep giving it away.
Right.
And also, and vice versa. And so I think those are the differences in some of those kinds of space spaces where you need to understand different spaces, as mm-hmm. Temper said, are bringing you different things, and different mentors and business partners are also bringing different things.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So that's one panel.
One panel.
Yes. Another panel that we're going to have is actually a group of women entrepreneurs
mm-hmm.
who are in tech and defense. Lori McCall, Women Detroit, who was just with us on the last mm-hmm. segment, will be there. I know we've had on the show before Katie Bigelow.
Is that the one with the vest?
Katie Bigelow is the one who, she's a former Black Hawk chopper pilot.
Yeah, but she was a Kevlar vest or something or other, wasn't it?
No, I think that was a gentleman who was on with us.
Oh, okay.
She actually has a consulting company where they're working on soldier sustainability and survivability.
Okay.
She was in Iraq when Humvees were soft-sided. So they were picking up metal mm-hmm. off the battlefield to attach it to their Humvees.
Really?
So she's really got a passion for it. And she's, you know, done some really amazing things, but she's gotten two really big government contracts this year
mm-hmm.
And doing more.
Great.
And it's an industry where there are not a lot of women. She's worked really hard to network with the right people, to get in front of the right people, to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little challenging. So she's going to be one of our panelists. And also my third panelist on that panel is going to be Kylie Gunther. She was actually on with us a while back too, mm-hmm. Spectolite. So mm-hmm. Her company is actually working with incorporating bamboo into composites. So they're using less plastic, more sustainable bamboo. And she's doing some amazing things. So she does everything from auto parts to plates and silverware. I mean, there are so many different things that can be done. And she's going to be amazing. She just was accepted into the Sephora National Accelerator. They're looking at her for doing some packaging for them.
Hmm.
So we're going to have her on Wednesday. And then I think Saturday she gets on a plane to go to California and live there for a week. You know, like you see on the reality shows, one of those big mansions. And mm-hmm. they're going to go to all the Google and Amazon and go do all the tours. So
she's like a roadshow kind of thing?
Well, she's actually been accepted. It's like an incubator.
Ah.
For different women
entrepreneurs. Yeah, like an immersion, a week of immersion in all of that space. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she'll be here on that panel too. So we're going to talk about women in tech, how they're tech and defense, and everybody's talking to each other, and it's all interconnected, and mm-hmm. it's just, and women are doing it. So I'm hoping there'll be a lot of women entrepreneurs and women in tech there who might just have some questions for this group about how did you do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, how can we help our next generation mm-hmm. of young women to see this as an option?
Well, and a lot of folks, you know, still continue to ask, some with authentic curiosity, you know, the focus on women, exactly sort of why is it just about empowering women? And it's more of a yes and, right? So I'm sort of a very big picture thinker when it comes to STEM or STEAM or whatever other letters I throw in there for the week. And the biggest challenges of our world are ahead of us. So it requires the most diverse group with the most diverse experiences that you can think of in order to, I mean, so we're talking water. You know, we're running out of it. It's changing. It's going in different spaces. We're talking about what does privacy mean in the world of Internet of Things. I need my computer to know my social security number. I just don't want hers to know, but they happen to be connected to the same network that makes my Alexa do that thing that I've trained her to do. And so mm-hmm. I think having lots of different folks with all of these different backgrounds is actually really important. So yes, mm-hmm. it's definitely about empowering our young ladies and our grown ladies in terms of taking hold of these things. But it's also about us getting many kinds of thoughts in the room as possible. You know, of course, you have your famous stories, the robotics team. From the Southwest United States. It was one of those great Cinderella stories. Young men of Hispanic descent, and they went and they beat, you know, the top tier teams at the international competition. Well, the funniest thing of that story is they've got a major leak in their robot and can't win the underwater challenge. And it takes them like half a day, but they figure out that a tampon could fix the issue. So now listen, we could have done that in like 45 minutes. And sort of just in terms of sort of thinking about these different things. Mm-hmm. And the young woman Temper just mentioned in terms of understanding packaging. Okay, well, on the one hand, you think of your domestic engineers, formerly known as housewives. We are experts at packaging. We know all the stuff that comes mm-hmm. in packaging and the packages that just don't work. But then when you want to think about what implications that has on, say, the battlefield or in any of these different kinds of places. So you want all of these folks with all these different renegade kind of experiences coming together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. That's 100%
And on your third panel.
No, that's great. Thank you, John. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the third panel, we're going to talk to some of the different people who do entrepreneurial training. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different things. There's the early ideation customer discovery training through Emerging Second Stage like we do. There's, you know, so much to do. So we're going to have Scott Taylor from the SBDC, mm-hmm. April Jones Boyle, who runs an organization called Build Institute, myself, and we're going to kind of talk about our organizations. But there's also this great piece of information that you can find online. It's called BizGrid, and it will describe to you every place you can find funding, where you can find marketing and sales help, where you can find training. And it's this big master database of all of the organizations in Southeast Michigan.
Really?
And I bet they're, BizGrid. Okay. BizGrid.
Now, is Amanda Luan on one of your panels?
Amanda Luan is. She's in co-working.
Co-working
and accelerators and incubators and community.
Hardest working millennial I know.
Yeah, amazing. So. Yes. She was in masterclass 2 years ago when she actually had her first small co-working space on Brush Street when she launched Bamboo Detroit.
Above
the bail bondsman, yeah.
First time I visited her, I thought, this can't be right.
Mm-hmm. And she has since, she's grown into the third floor in the Madison building on Washington.
And they're running out of space.
And the fourth floor, they've actually just expanded the fourth floor. Yep. And they're looking at other options to expand, not just locally, but also nationally. Mm-hmm. So. Yes. They're doing some really great things.
Speaking of her in that space, Timber, do you know of any spaces that are particularly dedicated to helping entrepreneurs who are very unusual suspects, such as perhaps those that may have had to visit the bail bondsman and sort of come seriously? But
hopefully,
if you think there's some creativity in every kind of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering, given Detroit and given, you know, for lack of a better phrase, the very diverse backgrounds mm-hmm. that some of our workforce is coming to the table with. Do you know of any of our entrepreneurial incubator spaces that are specifically targeting folks with those kinds of backgrounds?
I don't. But you saying that just put a light bulb off in my head. I'm like, that's brilliant.
I sure did. And for anybody who's listening, I want 10%. Ideas are not for free. But yes, I mean, just in terms mm-hmm. of that. But, you know, the other thing is Detroit is a place that would actually try something mm-hmm. like that. I mean, we mm-hmm. would do that. And
so
we
you're talking
be,
about somebody with a felony bust or something
Yeah,
like
or
that?
Something like that, yeah. right? If you're talking about however you choose to define or tag unemployable sort of for whatever reason, right? Which is, I don't know, start your own business mm-hmm. And sort of those kinds of things. Or maybe they don't have the proper background or sort of those different kinds of things. But Detroit has. I think a lot of folks who may fall into that category, mm-hmm. But who are relentless. This is a very relentless kind of town. And if entrepreneurship requires anything, it is a lot of hard-headedness
mm-hmm.
and the ability to take a whole lot of no's and people just looking at you like you can't possibly be serious. And a lot of that says Detroit mm-hmm. To me. And so that may be the next frontier that we need to think about.
It could be the second chance co-op or something, you know?
I think it's a great idea because we are starting to see programs for folks coming back into the workforce. And it just seems like kind of a natural progression mm-hmm. of those programs. So mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea.
All right, we need
to figure that out,
Tanya. We will talk to you.
Yes,
offline. Wonderful.
Well, we're having someone you know well from the MEDC on in the next segment.
Yes, very much
Sean
so.
Sean Phillips.
Yes.
And we'll have to throw that at him and say, you got the landing zone, so now we got another mm-hmm. idea for you.
Yeah, and absolutely. He's going to be actually on that panel, too.
So,
it'll be great. So, yeah, so it took a little bit of time to put this all together, but I think we've got a great track for the morning session. These
and
sessions.
I put you in the ballroom, so you know now it's up to you to fill the ballroom. So get out there and make sure everybody knows about it, because who can not afford $20? Come on, plus we give you breakfast to lunch.
Lunch, mm-hmm.
yeah.
A whole day of conference for $20.
I know it's
really a
we're
good
crazy.
Deal.
I know we're very crazy. So
in a good way,
yeah.
In a good way,
so.
And you never know, we're going to have drones there that
drones
day, right?
In the morning. Got the drone workshop. We got an industrial IoT. We only got two panels in that
because
Automation Alley didn't quite step up like we hoped they would on that. But so we have that. That's you know all the smart robots and things like that in the factories. So we have that session. In the afternoon, we have five things going on. We have two workshops and three breakouts.
Yeah, that's
right. And we have a special guest coming, but I just can't give you a specific time. The governor's coming. I know when the time is, but I'm told don't share the time. So,
top secret.
Yes.
That's right.
So we'll have the governor in the afternoon. So we're going to give him a little award on stage as well. Actually, Tanya's going to do that for us.
Fantastic. And I think if you're listening to us this afternoon, you're probably already inside this space. But I do want to say that Mike and his team have done a great job in making a conference that also works for just the curious. So maybe you're not in IT yet. Maybe none of your things are interneted or however you want to sort of think about it. But this is an open space for you to just kind of get in there, explore, look around, get inspired. And I'll bet you say, oh, I didn't know that this thing counted as part of that. Right. I could totally do that. So I want to compliment you guys on putting together something that I think is really accessible and open.
Well, thank you. And then then in the afternoon in the ballroom, we have the autonomous and connected vehicle track. I'm taking one of the panels, but Foster Brown is going to do the press panel where we have Paul Eisenstein and Sean McElroy and a few other folks are going to talk about what's really going on with ACVs. And then we have one on regulations, because that's really what's going to drive this. Okay. Do the regulations come and then the cars, or the cars and then the regulations? That's the big debate. Okay. But we're out of time in this segment, aren't we, as I look at Jessica, our office manager, studio manager, engineer. So we'll be right back. I'm not sure if Sean's on the phone yet, calling in from Lansing, but all my guests to stand by because we're talking about IoT Tech Connect. We'll be right back.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
And we're back, and we're waiting for Sean Phillips to come in from, we have with us Tanya Matthews, his former employer at the Michigan Science Center.
Yes.
And then he got recruited away by MEDC. I'm not exactly sure. I know he's involved with Planet M, but I don't know exactly what he does with Planet M. But Planet M is our title sponsor for IoT Tech Connect on April 4th. And is he here? Okay. Are you there, Sean?
Good afternoon. Yeah, this is Joe.
Okay, good. So we were just warming you up there, just saying we were thanking MEDC Planet M for being the title sponsor of IoT Tech Connect, which will be on April 4th at the Troy Marriott. Lots of stuff going on, and we have to thank the MEDC for helping us make this come to be. So I know you're going to have a pretty active role, not only are you guys helping put some money into this, but you also we have Timber Shea with us right now from Inform, and she was saying you're going to be participating actively, and that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, looking forward to it, looking forward to the event and being able to talk about what's happening in the connected and autonomous space. So appreciate you guys for putting this together, and we're excited to be a sponsor of the event.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're cross-scheduled against the grand opening of the American Center for Mobility, which is in the morning, but I'm hoping that some of those folks spill over into our event in the afternoon. And unfortunately, we weren't able to get any of the ACM folks into any of our panels because of this conflict, but we have with us, we'll have people from M-City there, we'll have people from the MSU's Canvas, I think it's called Canvas, right? The ACV, the group that they're doing there at MSU. And then we have Carmera, which won your big award at the auto show down in the basement there. Was that Best of Show, or what was that award they won?
Yeah, I believe it was the Best in Show award that they did win.
Okay. And they're also one of the six finalists for the $50,000 IoT pitch competition that our good friends at Kaiba Innovations will be hosting at 4 o'clock. And so that's when the show wraps up with the all these venture capitalists on stage. That's another thing. You want to come to the show, you rub elbows with these people with money. That's a good thing, right? And then we learn a whole lot more about what's going on in autonomous and connected vehicles. So that's really important. I know we've announced that Governor Snyder is going to be joining us. I just can't tell you the time because of security reasons, but he will be there. And I know for the governor and for the MEDC that really you guys are pushing the autonomous and connected vehicles here in Michigan. That's really important to us, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, with the just to kind of give everybody a background with Planet M. So, you know, Planet M, it's an initiative with the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. And what we're doing is we're looking to or we are the state mobility brand. But think of us as a concierge service around, you know, the future of mobility. And I like to, you know, break it down in three main components in terms of what we're offering. So with Planet M, we first look to activate the technology. So with that, we're doing a lot of assistance with testing and deployments. We're connecting a lot with MDOT, which is one of our, you know, strongest partners. And we're helping these startups get connected to the testing at the American Center of Mobility, as you mentioned earlier, as well as M-City. And, you know, we're helping to facilitate that. The second thing is connecting business-to-business connections. So being able to connect the startup technologies with the OEMs as well as the tier ones and other suppliers. And then matchmaking. So there's technology that these startups have as well as that these OEMs and these suppliers are looking for. So making those match meetings happen. And then we have a coordination of our mobility assets within Michigan. That's speaking to the different economic development units. We're all working together to attract these mobility companies and to make sure that they're successful and to be able to collaborate and bring all these pieces together makes Michigan what I believe to be very strong in this connected and autonomous space because we do have that collaboration working very well.
And you have the landing zone in the WeWorks facility downtown. Why don't you talk a little bit about the landing zone?
Yeah, so in downtown Detroit, we have the landing zone, which is at the WeWork building in Merchants Row. And it's a partnership with the Detroit Regional Chamber where we've developed a center of mobility on the entire fourth floor where startups, OEMs, and suppliers coexist within the same space. To help accelerate the business development of these companies. So in addition, within this space, we provide professional services where we're able to support startups and we curate mobility events catered around the interests of the companies that are in our space. And in doing that, we've been able to bring together these different partnerships and partners and companies to coexist. And for the companies that participate as a startup, it only costs them $100 per desk per month. And what we are doing is we want to provide that supporting system. And the goal is that they are going to graduate from this space and to expand their business and to have more sustainability. But this is where it all starts and where they're able to kind of foster that growth and development. And we provide that structure, bringing them, you know, VCs as well as professional services to kind of help them structure that business model. But as we go out to these different events, as we travel to, you know, Israel and other countries and other states within this country, we're looking to attract these companies here because we know we do have that infrastructure for this connected and autonomous vehicles. And, you know, we have the strong automotive history here, as well as the people that are able to get involved within the space. And that's why, you know, this region is very attractive to a lot of the companies that are outside the state in this country. And we're using the landing zone as one of the tools to attract them here.
Yeah, I know the Israelis are real big in this area. I had the foreign ministry had me over there on a press tour last June, so we toured Israel for a week and got a chance to see all those companies that are really heavily involved in cybersecurity. In fact, we have one of them on one of our panels on how not to hack a vehicle or how to protect a vehicle, ACV, autonomous connected vehicle, from being hacked. So we do have one of those Israeli companies with us.
Yeah, they're very big in cybersecurity, and we've made multiple trips out there, and there's a trip that's coming soon as well. And I think for with their cybersecurity, and obviously as we talk about connected and autonomous vehicles, and the security behind there is going to be very important, as we all know. So in doing a lot of partnerships with them, connecting with a lot of their companies, we find these Israeli companies to be very important in helping us to build this ecosystem. And we've had great conversations, and a lot of the businesses are interested, and some of them have already decided to come here and are looking for ways on how they can grow and set up their business. So I think that's, as you mentioned, a very strong and important partnership and collaboration as we work with Israel and other areas that are strong within cybersecurity.
So how many folks do you have on the landing zone now?
Pardon, I didn't hear you.
How many companies do you have in the landing zone now?
Yeah, so we have 27 total companies. Wow. Of that. We have three strong corporates in Bosch, Ford, and Denso. So we're continuing to grow, and that ecosystem in itself is we're looking for more partnerships. A lot of other companies have come in just to talk to the startup companies. And then we have a lot of startup companies that are outside the state and outside the country. So as we go and do these different outreaches to not only speak about Planet M with the branding, but then also to tell them about our services and how to attract them into Michigan. That's how we're starting to kind of grow the number of participating companies in the landing zone.
Okay. So what other initiatives does Planet M have going on? Or do you got something in the works that I'm not aware of?
You're aware of a lot, Mike. But,
I try to be.
one thing that I can kind of speak about is kind of how I mentioned about the activating of the technology, which we feel it's probably one of the top most important things. We've been working with the different testing facilities to figure out ways on how we can build the number of startups that are testing there. And part of that is facilitating some sort of program that will help to increase the number of startups testing there. So right now we're in conversation and trying to figure out how we can support that model to work for them. And then the second thing that kind of goes with the activating technology is being able to really connect these companies to deploy their technology. Because at the end of the day, there's great technology that they're a part of and that they're creating. But until you actually are able to put it out in the real world, it's just a great idea. So what we want to do is we want to help with that facilitation, working very closely with MDOT on that, with a particular company that is it's for safety, right? So they're able to reduce the number of collisions and predict a collision before it even happens. So being able to test that, use our benchmark the data, see what we've been able to reduce and how the technology has been beneficial. And so I think that as we progress and move forward, we want to help facilitate more and more pilots within the region to just kind of show how this whole connected and autonomous technology is coming together.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the big testing facility that's officially being christened here on April 4th in the morning. Clearly, it's been in operation since December, I believe, is when it started. This is American Center for Mobility. Now, that's a really big campus. 300 acres, is it? Something like that?
500
acres. Yeah, I knew it was big.
Yeah.
And has actual real-life roads and stuff. Instead of simulation, you're getting them actual on the roads and seeing how they perform. And I know that's still kind of coming up to speed. Probably won't be until the end of the year when it's really fully operational, right?
Yeah, and it's as you said, right? 500 acres is not a small amount of land. So they're, you know, they've already started testing since December 2017. Great facility. Within the United States, we have 10 total proven ground testing areas. So we have one of the 10 here in Michigan. So that's a great thing to be proud of. But I guess with this facility, you know, it has a, you know, tunnel, a lot of, you know, high speed testing that happens at the American Center of Mobility, and the grand opening that's occurring on the 4th, as we mentioned in the morning, will kind of allow the public and people to see exactly what is happening at the American Center of Mobility. But it's wonderful to have that here within the state of Michigan, and being able to provide an avenue for companies to validate their technology is great for the state of Michigan.
And then an M-City still does the basic research, because it's much smaller, what, 35 acres or so on North Campus. But I mean, for just the professors and the students and some of the other folks just experimenting with basic research, that's what goes on in M-City, right?
Yeah. So think of M-City, and the analogy I like to do is, you know, ACM is like the big brother of M-City, right? So M-City is 32 acres, ACM is 500 acres. So people that are companies that have their technology early stage, or just doing testing that they don't need to use a high speed or they don't need a highway to do some high speed testing. It's more so seeing how their technology is able to interact with the infrastructure within a city environment. M-City is a great place to do that. And even in talking to the folks at M-City, they're booked in itself. So very ingrained in terms of making sure that companies are able to test their early stage technology that they're working on. But ACM is, like I mentioned, you know, it's one of 10 proven grounds, and there's different levels of testing that happens at each of the two facilities based on what particular case one is working on to validate.
We're going to have to leave it at that. We're out of time in this segment. That's Shun Phillips with the Planet M, part of the MEDC, Planet M being mobility. That's one of the big things in Michigan. We also had on the show today Timber Shea, as well as her guest, Lori McCall, and, of course, Dr. Tanya Matthews, the CEO of the Michigan Science Center, our mistress of ceremonies at IoT Tech Connect on April 4th. Well, I'll speak for Matt and say we hope you enjoyed the show today, and we'll be back next week. This is Mike Brennan with M Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.